Bendiciones. Les recuerdo que se suscriban a nuestro canal de YouTube, Ministerios Palabra de Fe, y encienda todas las notificaciones. Les damos las gracias por darle like, compartir y comentar en todos nuestros videos.
Bienvenidos a Ministerios Palabra de Fe, el Ministerio de Enseñanza de Ignacio y Nubia Hughes, con una enseñanza bíblica, práctica y balanceada en la cual usted puede confiar.
Muy bienvenidos.
Welcome to our another study series on what happened with Job in the form of a question. And today's subject will be, don't blame God like Job did. The majority of Christians blame God for what happens to them. They say, well, I'm here like Job. In our past sessions, you can see on our YouTube channel of Word of Faith Ministries in English and in Spanish, and you can follow us there with this entire study series. Last time we were together in the study series, we were on chapter 5 of Job, verse 18. For he bruises, but he binds up; he wounds, but his hands make whole. Now this is something that Job said, and it's not necessarily this way. As we saw in our last sessions, Job spoke things out of ignorance. I'm going to repeat it one more time. This is not based on accusing Job, criticizing Job, judging Job, insulting Job. This is not based on that. This is based on defending the name of God and not accusing God for things that happened. Because apart from it being unjust that you're accused of something you did not do, it will not help your faith when you're in a terrible situation in your life. You're going to say, oh, well, I'm like Job. Or be it some Christians say, God caused it or God permitted it. But we saw in our last sessions, just reviewing a few things, chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Job 1, 21 and 22. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Well, from there, I mean, it indicates that something isn't very good with that. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Because Job was speaking out of ignorance here. Now, that doesn't mean he was right, because he also gave a lot of place to the devil. We also see in chapter 2, verse 7, I'm going to read from verse 7 to verse 10. Job 2, 7 to verse 10. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. These were kind of like scars with pus, and they were very painful. Job couldn't be neither standing nor sitting because it was all over his body. He couldn't be standing because the soles of his feet were full of these things. It was a very terrible situation for him. Many of us can't even imagine ourselves or comprehend. But it was a very difficult and painful, and also a very painful situation to go through after losing his children as well. Now in verse 9, or verse 8, staying in verse 8. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Notice how in verse 9, his wife himself recognized that Job was a holy man. I'm going to remind you something. In Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Let's read the New Living Translation. There once was a man named Job, who lived in the land of Uz, who was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. So his wife here was accusing him, or better said, was telling him, "Do you still hold fast to your faith?" Verse 9, Job 2:9. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" So this indicates that he was an integral man. Job was a faithful man, full man. A man who seeked to please God. Doesn't mean that he didn't have errors. No man is perfect, but the Bible says that he was a faithful man. Curse God and die. Verse 10. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Again, saying that Job did not sin. Why did he not sin? Because he didn't do it in a way, he didn't do it purposefully. Another way of saying it is that Job did not have a heart up until this moment, malicious towards God. Far ahead, we can see now a bitter heart towards God for what was happening. And when this is not a justification, I'm not saying that this is a justification that every single one of us, if we go through an adversity, we become bitter and say, "Oh, we're like Job." The difference between you and me and Job is that you and me, we live under the New Testament. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the whole written word from Genesis to Revelations. Job did not have any of this. He did not have the presence of God living in him. He was not a child of God by virtue of being born again, but he was a servant of God. No one was born again up until after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 10, the last part of it. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Very interesting how the Bible itself recognizes that Job did not sin with his lips. The reason is, as I said, Job said things out of ignorance up until this moment. Now, let's go to James 1. Verse 17, because it says here, "We shall not receive the good and not the adversity." So he thought that God sent good and evil towards people. There are Christians now under the New Testament, millions who think the same way. But the Bible says in the New Testament, with the revelation of the new covenant, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. So this was just a quick review, which is why I said all of this. Now, let's go to Job chapter 5, verse 17. Job 5, verse 18, apologies. "For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands makes whole." Now, Job said this in a moment of affliction and in a moment of already being bitter. How do you know that he was already bitter? Well, in chapter 3, we see that in verse 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And from here on forward, we see a bitter Job. A Job who was bitter towards God. I do not recommend being bitter towards God. The reason is, the devil will take great advantage over you. Satan will take great advantage over you. Now, back to chapter 5. 5:18. I'll tell you this one more time. He wounds, but his hands make whole. I'll remind you, I believe, I don't exactly remember, I believe about five sessions ago, six sessions from this one. One more time, I recommend that you watch them again on our YouTube channel of Word of Faith Ministries, in English and in Spanish, that you can understand well what we are studying with a higher clarity. Look, something very important. Things that are very important. Biblical points that are very important. Now, going on after this verse, he wounds. But notice in Isaiah 54, or 53, my apologies, Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. It doesn't say that he makes the wounds, but that by his wounds we were healed. By his stripes we were healed. He does not make wounds, heals them. We see in the Gospels, in all the Gospels, we don't see a single moment in which the Lord Jesus Christ put on illnesses. In not a single verse of the Gospels does it say that Jesus put an illness. Better said, we see in the book of Acts, it reveals to us, chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10:38, and it says how God anointed Jesus. God 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice now how it reveals to us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, the Lord was healing. He was not causing illnesses or causing sicknesses. So when you hear Job say that he causes wounds, well, be merciful on Job, because Job was saying it in a moment of desperation, out of frustration, out of bitterness against God. So do not fall in that. It's not a justification. One of the first things that I said, I don't remember if it was the first or in the second session, or in the third of the series, but I mentioned that what we should learn from Job is to persevere in the middle of affliction, to persevere. Perseverance is what we can learn from Job. But not to say the things that he said. So I'm going to continue reading Job 5, verse 19. He shall deliver you in six troubles, and yet in the seventh no evil shall touch you. In famine he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. You shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth, etc. So sometimes these people would say good things in the Old Testament, but then they say other things. My God, that just did not fit. In chapter 6, reading verse 1, then Job answered and said, one of the things that he said here, verse 4, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terror of God are arrayed against me. The arrows of the Almighty. So help me with Ephesians 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts or arrows of the wicked one. That's what this word means. Darts could be translated to arrows. So we see how tremendous this is. I don't know if they put it in English in Job 6:4. Because this is very important to understand. God is not sending arrows full of poison. Blessed brother Job, or to many brothers in Christ. Notice what tremendous words here in verse 4. The arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. So God does not send poisonous arrows, nor does he have poison. Now, in verse 9, that it would please God to crush me, that he would loose his hand and cut me off. That it would please God to crush me, that he would lose his hand and cut me off. These declarations of Job are very strong. But I want you to see now in Acts 4, we're going to read from verse 29 to verse 31. I know I'm giving a lot of Bible, but it is very important. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they have prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. But that there was a tremble, and that when it was shaken there, everyone died after the building collapsing. But that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So now Job, where we were, Job chapter 6 says some very tremendous things, all in chapter 6. And we're going to reach a point here. I can't read every single verse, but there were some good things, but there were some other things that he said out of ignorance, out of his bitterness. Another thing that he said about Job is that Job lived before the time of the law of Moses. So there was less and less understanding, less revelation of who God was. Verse 6:24. Teach me now, I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand where I had erred. Well, in everything. In everything. In everything he has erred. In everything he has said. According to those, of course, of those accusations, they're wrong. Verse 25, how forceful are right words, but what does your arguing prove? Now in verse 30, this is a question now. Is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the unsavory? The first question is there injustice in my tongue? Yes, in the sense that at this point, Job was frustrated against God. And if there is injustice or iniquity in his tongue. Now verse 30 again, the second question, cannot my taste discern the unsavory? Job, I refrain from saying it, but no, you cannot discern it. Again, not a criticism towards Job, not making fun of him. I don't want to sound that I'm disrespecting Job. Because notice the second question. Cannot my taste discern the unsavory? The answer would be no. Don't. Now let's see another thing here. that Job said. Chapter 7. Now, Job here now starts arguing with God. 7:7. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. Said, my eyes will never again see good. Well, that's a lie. I don't want to go all the way to Job 40. Job 42, we're going to see the end now. What is what it says in verse 12? Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yokes of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Sesia, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance amongst their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years, and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. And Job was getting ahead, saying, oh, well, I'll never see good things in my life. He started whining beforehand, and because he was just speaking out of his bitterness, or in his bitterness, better. It's surprising. Do not speak things, even in the middle of adversity. Speak the solution, and the solution is in the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in other tongues. Seek the wisdom of God. And the Spirit of God will guide you, to the promises that are written. Amen. And you will come out of that situation. Brother Hughes, and if I cause that issue? If you repent, truly, from your heart, religion makes it very difficult. I've seen it. The Word of God is much easier than what you and I think. If you repent is not just, why repent? Well, that's fine. But repent has to do with a change in your way of thinking. And if you change your way of thinking, you will change in your way of speaking. Chapter 7. So Job here continues speaking in his bitterness. Verse 11. Look at what he says here. Job 7:11, therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. How many of you knows that this is very dangerous? These are very important points that we can learn from here. Very important. What does the Bible say on this? Go to 1 Peter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter 3:10. Start here. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. So he said, I will not refrain my mouth. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So, if Job had said, hey, I'm seeking peace, but it's not the way, of letting your mouth run loose. Verse 12, in 1 Peter 3, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So here Job was doing evil, but again, it's not that the Lord was permitting these things happen to him. What was happening is Job was violating spiritual laws to this day are still working. So notice in Genesis 8, verse 22. Oh, Brother Hughes, is too much Bible. What's necessary to give you a Bible for you to understand? Even when I don't, even with giving you Bible, some of you can barely even make it. Some of you struggle. And then for me not to give you Bible. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer and day and night shall not cease. They will not cease. Seed time and harvest while the earth remains. So Job violated this law of seed time and harvest with his words. But Brother Hughes, Job didn't know. So he did it out of ignorance. Why didn't God protect him? Because God cannot do that to this day. To this day, if you do not do your part, God cannot do his part. But Brother Hughes, Jesus already paid for it in his grace. Exactly. Again, that's the key word. Jesus already paid. That only indicates that the price was paid in Christ. That's grace. But it's not automatic. The manifestation of the grace of God is not automatic. Just because Jesus paid for it, but because we have the authority here on the earth. We, in English, it is called delegated authority. Delegated authority. Jesus is the head. We are the body. The head is in heaven, which is Jesus. The body is here on this earth. What if my head points and wants to go there, but my body wants to go over there? Well, we won't agree. So people have to understand that. Job was speaking here out of bitterness. Notice this. Out of the bitterness of his heart. Something so you can understand this about delegated authority. Matthew 8. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." When did he say this? When he was about to depart after his resurrection. So this authority, notice how immediately it was delegated to us, because we are here on this earth. Which is why he said this authority will begin in heaven, which is to me, which is why it's delegated to me. But it will be exercised by you here on the earth, which is why he delegated authority. Notice how he didn't say all authority is given to me in heaven, because he was going to heaven. He said all authority has been given to me in heaven, and on earth. Why did he mention earth if he was about to depart? It was because that authority was now be exercised through us. That's what the authority that we have, which is in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it sounds religious for many, unfortunately. People struggle. Oh, they struggle with this. And they use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a cliche, even when praying in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. They say in the name of Jesus 20 times in the single prayer. That's just religion. I'll be honest with you, that's just religion. But in the name of Jesus means authority. Authority, delegated authority. In the name of Jesus, or with the authority of Jesus, it's the same thing. Even if you were to tell a demon, "Get out of the body, I order it." What do you do it with? With the authority of Jesus. I mean, who are you? But you do it with the authority of Jesus. Not saying that you don't say in the name of Jesus, but if you don't say, but you exercise your your understanding, you exercise that authority, the demon will go out. Amen. Glory to God. We return after these quick announcements. Some of you, every announcement is important, but some of you need to listen to the first. And if you not have not been born again, this is the opportunity that you have to be born again. Amen.
No estoy hablando de una religión o de cambiar de religión. Estoy hablando de recibir a Jesús como Señor y Salvador. Te invito a hacer esta oración conmigo. Dios que estás en los cielos, vengo delante de ti a recibir el regalo de vida, a recibir a Jesús como Señor y Salvador. Yo creo que tú lo resucitaste de entre los muertos. Yo creo que Él vive hoy y que Él reina. Jesús, gracias por entregar tu vida y te recibo como mi Señor y Salvador. Ahora, Dios, puedo llamarte Padre, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús. Gracias por recibirme como tu hijo, como tu hija. Si usted hizo esta oración, queremos que usted ha nacido de nuevo. Bienvenido al reino del Señor Jesucristo. Bienvenido a la familia de Dios. Y recuerde, sobre todas tus posesiones adquiere conocimiento, porque dice en su palabra, en 2 Corintios 5:7, porque por fe andamos y no por vista.
Queremos saber de ti y de lo que Dios ha hecho en tu vida. Visita nuestro sitio web mpfccc.com. Haga clic en la sección de testimonios y comparta con nosotros las maravillas del Señor.
¿Tienes preguntas? Dios tiene la respuesta. Escríbenos tus preguntas y comentarios en nuestro sitio web mpfccc.com en la sección de preguntas y respuestas o a nuestro correo electrónico info@mpfccc.com.
Ahora mantenerte conectado con nuestro ministerio está al alcance de tu mano. Descarga nuestra aplicación Ministerios Palabra de Fe, disponible en App Store y Google Play, totalmente gratis. Y si ya la tienes, no olvides compartirla con tus amigos desde la misma aplicación. Usted puede ayudar a Ministerios Palabra de Fe a cumplir la comisión de Jesús de llevar la Palabra de Dios al mundo de una manera muy tangible, donando nuestro ministerio en nuestro sitio web, mpfccc.com, en la sección de dar, donde encontrará modos fáciles y seguros de donar. Puede hacer una donación llenando el formulario. Escribe una cantidad, seleccione el área en que quiere sembrar, agregue su método de pago y presione el botón de dar. Recibirá una confirmación de su donación. Y recuerde, cualquier cantidad que se comprometa a dar es una bendición. Nosotros valoramos su sociedad y sus oraciones.
Muy bien, gloria a Dios. Very well. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all our friends and faith partners of Word of Faith Ministries for helping us to take this message of faith and the principles of the kingdom of God to different areas around the world via radio, television, and the internet. Television in Mexico, radio in Mexico. We are a missionary ministry. So thank you, and consider being a faith partner, Word of Faith Ministries, if it is that you are not. If you continuously extract spiritual information, be it information of the Word of God, consider doing it in prayer. Meditate on it, especially if you extract spiritual information. You can also download our app completely free on your mobile device, on Google Play and in the App Store. You can also enjoy everything that there is on our website completely free. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel in Spanish and in English. Do everything that it says there about like and subscribe, give a like. I don't know what else. I think hitting a bell for the notifications or something like that. I've heard that's what they told me. To hit the bell to notify. And also, you can subscribe. You can follow us on our social media. And subscribe to our email list. There we go. You can grab it there on the QR code. There's a lot of information. Especially in this year, our YouTube channel, in English and in Spanish, but in English, it was a big growth. So I thank you for those who speak English and Spanish, or to help us to extend the word by sharing our app in English. One thing about our app is that you can share it through different areas. You can share it through text message. You can share it through WhatsApp, through email as well. And it's completely free. If you have the app, the email for someone, you can share it with them if they wish to learn of the Word of God through a solid, balanced, biblical teaching in which you can trust. Now, continuing, I was speaking on delegated authority, and many people do not understand. They think that everything is God. Everything is God. Oh, God will take care of this. Everything is by grace. Grace has an important part. And it's important. It's true. But it's just a part. If you do not do the part that corresponds to you, God will not do the part that corresponds to Him. Because everything that God does, He does it based, first of all, in what Jesus already paid for. That's true. But the other part is, now you who has the authority here, you have to do something. In this case, your part in faith is to correspond, cooperate, and collaborate. That's what faith does. Faith is a positive response, not a negative response. Disobedience would be a negative response. Faith is a positive response, which is why obedience is simply faith in action. Hallelujah. Simple as that. You can see that there are millions of Christians living in disobedience. God bless them. I don't know how they can live that way. Or perhaps that's why they live like that. Issue after issue, frustration after frustration, illness after illness, disgrace after disgrace. Of course, we will have affliction here on the earth, and sometimes illnesses will come, problems will come. But there's a difference between problems coming as an attack of the devil to we provoking it out of disobedience, to completely different things. So let's continue here, speaking on Brother Job. Job, as I said, I don't say this in a negative connotation. Again, I'm not criticizing Job in any way. Or making it negative, or criticizing, cursing him, making fun of him, or saying that Job was a dumb, ignorant man. No. Yes, he was ignorant, although ignorant is a very strong word for some. But ignorant simply means someone who does not know, and he did not know, because he lived in a different time. Now, unfortunately, there are many Christians living in the New Testament that live in complete ignorance. Completely ignorant. And unaware of how God works. So we were seeing there, in Job 7, verse 11, we saw that everything that he said was very wrong. And I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And then, verse 12, he asks, am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? When I said, my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scar me with dreams and terrify me with visions. When does God send nightmares and terrify you with visions? God will give you good news. And if it's something bad, in this case, God will alert you of a danger that is coming. But It's not that he's going to scare you or anything. God was just complaining here. So as I said, he continues speaking here in the coming verses. You can read them. I'm just emphasizing some important points or some verses. And then verse 17, what is a man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him? Well, if you notice, this same question in verse 17, this same question is also in the Psalms. And let's see it here. Psalms 8, verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and of a son that you visit him? So what was happening? They were before Christ. Psalms, David was under the law. But Job was before the law. But now, glory to God, if we have been born again, you say, who are you that God visits you? Hey, you're a child of God. You are temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking here that we deserve it all. This is all by grace. Praise the Lord. But when you are a child of God, God speaks with you. God is with you. He lives in you because we are in a better covenant established on better promises. If you are born again, if Jesus is your Lord, truly, if the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God, the presence of God now lives in you. But Job was making questions like this. This one, because again, he did not understand. He lived in a different time. Verse 21. Why do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in the dust, and you will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be. Notice this. Why do you not pardon my transgression? Notice how Job was speaking here out of frustration and blaming God completely. Let's see what Psalms 107 says. This was in the form of a question. Psalms 103, verse 1 to verse 3. Psalms 103, 1 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Glory to God. Now you see the difference here. When here in Psalms, or my apologies, here where we are reading, why do you not forgive my iniquities? Look at what the Bible says. Amen. He is the one who forgives all your iniquities. But here, Job was speaking out of the bitterness of his heart. This moment, I'll lift you up in prayer. Father, I thank you. And I praise you. I glorify you, Lord. And I lift up in prayer all those who are confused right now. In this moment, there is a lot of confusion. A lot of people are suffering in different situations. Perhaps need, hunger, lack, problems, divorces, problem with their children. I do not know. You know what's going on in their life. Holy Father, you bring revelation, conviction, and understanding. I speak spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak peace. And I'll tell you something. God is not the one to blame. God is not responsible for this. It's Satan. Be it out of your decisions. And I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying the why things happen. Many times they happen because we don't listen from God. Or simply we are ignoring God. People ignore. We live in a society completely anemic to the things of God. And I don't say it because of the world. We are seeing it even in so-called Christians. Christians who would say, oh, I will never... It never get cold, and then you see them cold. Others, oh, for me, going to church is very important. You see that they don't go. It's not the same for them. God isn't important. They want to be centered in their problems. Others want to be centered in their family. Well, my brothers and sisters, with all due respect, I'll tell you something. You are not the author of life. You're not the author of life for them. Your understanding is limited. You could have the best desires for your wife, your husband, for your children. But you and your understanding, in your wisdom, in your own strengths, in your own flesh, you are limited. You are very limited. You are very limited, my brothers and sisters. But with the wisdom of God, you can reach farther. By the grace of God, I learned these things many years ago. Around 23 years ago, I started learning these things. And I continue learning. I don't claim that I know it all. But I saw many things. I saw a frequent evil in the life of Christians and in the life of unbelievers. But as believers in Christ, we should not go through those things. I saw that the children or the sons and daughters who grew up in the churches were there in their churches for some time, but once they grew up, entered into adolescence, they started having issues. The world influenced them in their schools. And then they went away from God. Their children, their parents continued in, but then the grandchildren came, their children got married, now grandchildren came. Now the fathers became grandparents. Now the grandparents need to take care of the grandchildren, that their children can work. And when they were once serving, those grandparents were serving. Now they enter into an age, an elder, more mature age. I don't know how to say it. But perhaps a third level of age where now that culture of children won them over and of grandchildren. It's rare nowadays to see a person, an elder, already of the third age, I don't know what they call them, still take their own decisions in serving God. Nowadays, the majority of parents are influenced by children and grandchildren. What's the problem? It'd be wrong that a child or a grandchild influence their father or uncles or grandparents. Not if their children and grandchildren are in fire for the Lord. But nowadays, we will see a lot of people who are backstepping and becoming cold spiritually. And they will blame God, they will say, and say to this day, well, if God didn't want me to be so cold, He would not have permitted that these things happen to me. My brothers and sisters, with all due respect, that is the greatest stupidity you could ever say. God does not permit what you permit in your life. On the contrary, if you are those who say, my house and I will serve the Lord, and you constantly speak it, you constantly affirm it, there's enough power in that word, in those words of faith that come out of your heart, that word that is mixed with the presence of Jesus, that word which is mixed with the anointing of Jesus in you, that word which is mixed with the word of Jesus Christ in you. You believe it and it comes out through your mouth with power. And you say many times during the day, for many weeks, for many months, for many years, my house and I will serve the Lord. And now, of course, it's not just believing anything and confessing it. We have to do things. We have to hear from God. The Spirit of God will speak to us with the word. I can assure you one thing, I can assure it. The word does not fail. And you will have wisdom, and you will enter into an age, and your children will be with the Lord. Your grandchildren will. I can guarantee it. Because they will see the example in you. They will see a man and a woman of faith. A man and a woman who puts God before anything else. The things of God. A man and a woman of faith whom you can see their children praying, reading their Bible, serving in their churches, getting ready to go to their churches. And where are you going? Well, I'm going to church. I'm going to listen to the word of God. I'll return in a moment. I'll come back later. And when their children see that conviction in every area, then those children and those grandchildren will follow those parents, those grandparents. But sadly, many Christians allow the world to tell them what to do. So now the devil comes, makes a disaster of their lives, and they get frustrated and they say, where is God? Why doesn't God listen to me? Why doesn't God help me to get out of this situation? And then they themselves conclude in their disobedience, in their ignorance, they say, oh, I know why. It's because I'm like Job. God is testing me like Job. No, my brothers and sisters, it's your decisions. And I tell you, out of love, not condemnation, it's your decisions. It's because you've decided to disobey. One after another after another. I've heard Christians say, oh, I know, Brother Hughes, that I'm wrong. Oh, yes, I know. I know that I'm wrong. Oh, I'll fix it later. Oh, I'll change later. They'd rather please their bosses at church, with their family member, with their bosses at work, with their family members, or with their friends, than to please their own creator. And they assume that because they recognize it, then they're right. They say, oh, it's because I recognize it. Oh, it's best if you recognize it and accept it than be those people who are like stubborn mules who they don't even recognize it. Nevertheless, there's not much difference when you receive the results, those who recognize it than those who don't, that they're wrong and they're going to receive the same results. The only one who will see different results are those who make an effort in the Lord. That man and woman who makes an effort in Christ, in His Word. Those who have decided to obey God because they love Him. Where that obedience is born out of that relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, if you receive the word tonight, I invite you to sow. You can sow online. You can give online. There are methods right now that you can use to give right there in through that QR code. You can also help us to sow through text message. If you receive the word, help us to take the word to other areas. It's time to give. It's good to give. If you want prosperity, if prosperity in the method of the Lord, then it's good to give. People say, oh, it's because I don't have to give because Jesus already paid it all. Yeah, Jesus paid it all, but if you want to prosper the way of the Lord, you want to prosper the way of the Lord? Someone asked me this. Because I teach, you see, giving should be an act of your free will. But if someone says, it's not born out of me, I don't want to give, etc. Well, then you'll never prosper the way of the Lord. Because someone told me, what if it's not born out of me, but I want to prosper? Well, then you're going to have to give, and you're going to have to adjust your heart and say, I want to give, I desire to give. I love God the way that He loves me. I love God because He loves me, glory to God, and He loved me first. And I'm thankful with His salvation because I'm His child. Out of healing with all the good that there is with me. Hallelujah. It's been out of His goodness to where I am now. I am alive. Even if you didn't have anything financially, if you were struggling, you have life. You have eyes. You have sight. You can walk. If anyone of you says, no, I can't walk. Oh, you can see. You can eat. There's always something to give to praise the Lord for. So now you give in faith. In faith. Faith is I'm going to give, believing that I'm going to receive a harvest. While the earth remains, the laws will not cease. Harvest, seed time and harvest. If any one of you perhaps wants to give tithing or the 10%, that's what tithing is. It's all there in our website. You give it electronically. You can also do it through traditional mail. You can send your checks to Word of Faith Ministries. to the address that is there. And it's all also tax deductible. So now I'm going to pray for all those listening. Oh, pray for healing, for peace, revelation, understanding. Holy Father, I thank you and I praise you. I lift up in prayer, first of all, those who perhaps are suffering of an illness. Those who are in a situation, financial situation, or in any situation at all. Are the helper. You are the healer. You are the one who prospers them. You are who lifts them. I thank you. I curse all illness, work. I praise you, I exalt you. And I curse all evil work of the devil in their bodies. And I call that healing in their bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. And I praise you. And I glorify you. Those who are going to give. Thank you for that financial breakthrough. There is no lack in their homes. You help them financially, spiritually, mentally. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the glory. Multiply their giving, their seed, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Believe that you receive it. Speak those blessings. Speak the blessing of God always. Thank you, Father. Even in difficult times, you and I will prosper. Amen. This was another broadcast of the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. God bless you all.
Visita nuestro sitio web mpfccc.com o llámanos al 520-364-3698. Y si vives en México, comunícate al 66-21-68-5720 o escríbenos a nuestro correo electrónico info@mpfccc.com. Si le gustaría unirse a nuestro ministerio como un socio en la fe, puede registrarse en línea o en nuestra aplicación. Necesitamos de su continuo apoyo financiero para que el programa La Victoria que ha vencido al mundo nuestra fe tenga el máximo alcance en su área. Les damos las gracias a todas las personas que están sembrando en nuestro ministerio. Su sociedad impulsa nuestra habilidad de llevar la palabra de Dios al mundo. Puede enviar su correspondencia a Ministerios Palabra de Fe al 5379 Norte Rocky Road en Douglas, Arizona, código postal 85607.
Esta fue una producción de Ministerios Palabra de Fe.